There was joy in her heart and also peace as she went forth The Lord having said to her, go in peace. Verse 50 of Luke 7. And then also in that verse, we can also consider another grace, or part of the fruit, or fruit of the Spirit, faith. And so we see in that brief account in Luke chapter 7, a number of fruits manifesting themselves and displaying themselves before the Lord and before others. But this morning we consider love, joy, and peace. Now the Holy Spirit has entered the life of the believer at the new birth. And so Christ is found within. We read in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, that you have not death, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit has entered within, the Lord is found within, and there is the evidence of this. There is the evidence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. Our Lord makes this plain in John 3 and verse 8. There is the movement of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells therein. And there will be manifested, therefore, the fruit of the Spirit. And these things we consider here today, and the Lord willing, on a future occasion, when we come back to these verses, they will manifest themselves in the true believer's life. Now here, the apostle declares in this chapter, the opposition between the flesh, that is the inward corruption, and the Spirit, from verse 17. Now in the unbeliever there is nothing but flesh, as one of those has put it, or inward corruption. When we come to consider the believer, yes, there is the new man, but sadly, and we're all well aware of this, there is still indwelling sin or corruption. And so the believer needs to battle hard. There needs to be the mortifying of the deeds of the flesh. However, there is the new man, and the fruits will appear, as we have already considered in the life of that lady in Luke chapter 7. Well, we have the fruit of the Spirit, these graces will appear. And that's plain, isn't it? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within. Now these graces, or this fruit, proceeds from the Holy Spirit. And as we consider each grace or fruit, it is pleasant to Christ. But we read in the Song of Solomon 4 verse 16, there are the pleasant fruits. The pleasant fruits. And first of all, they are pleasant to the Lord himself. Then they are pleasant to other believers. And then they are pleasant to ourselves. Let me illustrate this straight away. When we have love to the Lord and love to the brethren, and it's manifesting itself, that's pleasant to ourselves, isn't it? Yes, I love the Lord and I love the brethren. It is a pleasant fruit, not only to the Lord Jesus and the Son of Solomon 4 verse 16, but also to his people. The Reverend John Brown of Paddington writes there, a delight and pleasure to him and his people. And so they are. Well, let's begin this new series then. The series on fruits, and we do so here, considering love, joy, and peace. First of all, love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We can consider the fruit as a whole and the individual parts of it. Or we can, in light of Solomon 4 verse 16, consider each part as a fruit. But let's consider love. Now love is found in the heart of many. Many a family has great love flowing around it. Many a husband and wife has love in their marriage. They enjoy mutual love between each other. And the wife enjoys much love from her husband. Many have love in their hearts. A love that which is natural. And I meet many people which I can say though they do not love the Lord, they're loving, and they're very kind. I know certain ones around this chapel. Because of that natural love, they're known as very loving, and they are very kind. And we speak, don't we, of that loving lady, that loving man. And in the workplace, even though many may be unconverted, because of a natural love, we can say, well, that's a loving colleague. They're kind to me. There is a natural love. There can be this natural love, though there is also in the heart of the unbeliever much hatred towards the world. Well, there is this natural love. And many an ungodly family has love in the family. And we meet them, and we see the kindness, do we not? But here we're considering that grace of love, this particular fruit of the Spirit which is not in the heart of unbelievers. Do you understand the difference? There may be natural love and such an abundance of natural love, but in the heart of the unbeliever there is not this grace, this special fruit of love. You see, because the unbeliever is spiritually dead. And this is powerfully illustrated to us in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And you see it plainly, those who are spiritually dead do not have this grace of love in the heart. There was a certain man in North Wiltshire who thought that everything was well for his soul. But then one day he heard this text preached or read, and he suddenly realized he didn't love the brethren. He wasn't a believer. But the Lord used that in his conversion. And he came to love the Lord, and he could say he loved the brethren with this grace of love. And it's an aid to assurance, isn't it? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Love to your brother or sister, and not just seeing his word, but in deed and truth, as we see in John, can be an aid to assurance. You look around this morning at your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you say, I love them unconditionally. I'm a believer in light of the word of God. That's an aid to assurance, isn't it? However, there are those who think all is well for them, but they do not have that love within the heart. And one can rightly question, listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson, it may justly be suspected that God is not the father of those that love not his children. It may justly be suspected that God is not the father of those that love not his children. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So important is love, is it not, in the heart? You consider how the apostle reasons in 1 Corinthians 13. We think there of the word agape, which is translated there as charity, but it can also be translated as love. 1 Corinthians 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Isn't that interesting there? Speaking of love, it is a kind love in the heart of the believer. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You see, the apostle stresses the vital importance of love in the soul. Love in the heart, but also considering the exercise of love in the heart of the believer. It is a mark of grace. It is a mark of grace. If you have love in your heart, there are times you may say, well, it seems so faint. If you have love to the Lord and love to the brethren, it is a mark of grace. Now this grace comes as a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is found in the hearts of those that are born again. Not till then is this grace found within. Love to the Lord and love to the brethren is found because of the grace. Or has this grace of love come to your soul? You may have a natural love, but oh, has this grace of love come to your soul? You've been brought in amazement to the foot of the cross. You've looked at Jesus and you've admired him. Are you aware of love in your life at this moment? I just want to pause and consider. Love begins with God. 1 John 4 verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. It begins with God, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3 verse 10 verse 5, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He's so holy. He hates sin. He hates my sin. Yet in great love he sent his only begotten Son. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. What love! What love of the Father in sending. What love of the Son in coming and dying on the cross. What love of the Spirit in applying. It begins with God, doesn't it? If you have love in your hearts this morning, you thank God. Thank the Saviour afresh for dying on the cross for you. Amazing love, because of God's love. We love each other. Because of God, there is this grace of love wrought within, and it appears. It may be a small measure at times, or to begin with. Or it may be a great measure, as it was for that lady. She loved much. But let me tell you, it will appear. Think of the cold winter. Heat of the summer, we can think of the cold winter. After the cold winter, the dark cold winter, little flowers begin to appear. Children, you can think of the crocuses, the snowdrops, the primroses and the daffodils. They begin to appear. Now, when you think of the daffodils, there are some varieties which have large flowers. And then there's other varieties which have smaller flowers. But they're still daffodils and they appear. The love in the heart of the believer will appear, though at times it may be great, or at times it may be small. It's there. The daffodils appear. Some larger, some smaller. They're daffodils, aren't they? Oh, there is love. It will appear. There's been the darkness of unbelief. There's been that cold winter of unbelief and ignorance in the soul. But then the Holy Spirit has come and put love within, and he cultivates it, and it appears. It manifests itself. The believer will show forth this true grace of love. Yes, the believer will struggle with indwelling sin. And sadly that sin will circuit itself. However, the believer will be known for love. And the world will know whom they are following. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. To another. The world will know Jesus Christ. And we need to think about that. Oh, that the world would see it more and more. The Lord says that. Let my love be seen to the world. Let my love be seen. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. They will know. Look how they love each other at that chapel or that church. They're followers of the Lord. Love in the soul. Is there love flowing around your heart at this time? Are you conscious of it? Now can you say in the quietness of the pew, I love thee, Lord Jesus, and I love the brethren. What a blessing to say that. I love thee, Lord Jesus, and I love the brethren. I can say it's a blessing to me. And I know it's a blessing for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, to address the Lord, I love thee. And did you last say it before the service to the Lord Jesus? I love thee. I often put that question, and I'm often careful when I think about it, because I've prepared the sermon, haven't I? And I know what is coming in the sermon. But let me ask you, before this service, when did you last say to the Lord Jesus, I love thee?
Yeah.
Are you looking with faith to the Beloved One now, and expressing your love? Solomon 8 verse 5. Who is this that cometh out for the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? We know that that leading is a description of faith. It's put there for faith, isn't it? Leaning upon the beloved. You see the graces in activity. Leaning, looking to Jesus, exercising faith. And it's a loving faith, we could say. Because there's love there as well. Leaning on the beloved. Faith is put with them, but then also love. And like that lady, she was looking and she was loving as well. And what a thought it is. We look to him, and he is altogether lovely. And he draws the grace of love in his direction. And we're found with a heart of affection, looking and loving him. One looks. And there's love in the heart as well. Think of the wife who goes to meet her husband at the docks or this railway station. She looks out for the one she loves. The husband arrives at the dock and comes off the ship or arrives at the station. And he spots his wife. There's that loving smile on her face. She's looking. And there's love. And he knows it. Oh, Jesus knows it, dear child of God. Though you may struggle, you have to say, increase our faith. There are times your love may be like the watermark on the page. The Lord knows. The Lord knew. You think of that lady who came in. She had her doubts. How do we know that? Because the Lord had to say, a little later, go in peace. That's interesting, isn't it? She came to faith, she had love in her heart, but doubt so quickly arose. Go in peace, he said to that doubting believer who had just been converted. You may have doubts at times, you may struggle, but the Lord looks on. He sees that which his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has put with him. He looks on. Yes, at times he's grieved with me. But he looks on. At times his people fell. But oh, they speak of their love again. Remember Peter? After he denied the Lord, he went out and wept bitterly. But then, his love was aroused, was it not? And though he was humbled by our Lord in John 21 verse 15, he said to the Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's interesting there, isn't it? The Lord knew. But he questioned. Because Peter had denied and fell. And the Lord will question us. He knows we love him, but he will question us in order to get us responding. You see the point there? He wants us, after we have failed him, to renew our love, to speak of our love towards him. He has every right to question us, doesn't he? When we deny him or fail him in some other way, what a blessing through his Spirit he causes us to say, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest." Can you say that to Jesus now? He's listening. "Thou knowest that I love thee." The Lord is listening. Psalm 116 verse 1, "I love the Lord." You tell it to the Lord. This is your song. It was the song of Jesus just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is your song in the ear of the Lord today, in the ear of the triune God. I just consider their song, 116 verse 1. Our Lord sang those words with his disciples just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He expressed his love even though he was about to embark on a great season of trial. Express your love on a calm day, but also on those difficult days. And you know, I've learned that through experience. It's often through the difficulty. My love is pulled even more towards Jesus. Make known your love. Let the Lord see it. The child leans on the parent, or the wife on the husband, and the other knows. The Lord knows. Let your desire be known, made unto Jesus, if you desire to love him more and to spend time more with him. Song of Solomon 1 verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me, I know, but tell me again." We know where there is the dining time, that precious, special dining time in the gatherings of the saints, Psalm 22, verse 26, and Hebrews 2, verse 5. Tell me, but I want to be told again. Let me just illustrate this. Think of your loving Saviour who died on the cross of Calvary. You've heard of that often. But what do you say this morning? Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me again. And in all eternity, we're never tired of thinking of his love. I know, but tell me again. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, when thou feedest. I love thee. I want to know more of thee. Yeah. Oh, for a ripening of the grace of love. Oh, for the cultivation of it by the Holy Spirit after a winter time in the soul. Love to the Lord. Love to the brethren. It will manifest itself in actions and not just words. One can say they love, but there's no action. Then it must be questioned. As John makes plain there at the latter part of the New Testament. Love in our words. You see, there can be wrong thoughts, wrong actions, wrong words. There needs to be right and loving words. Right and loving actions. Oh, how important that is. Let love fill the mind and the hand and the mouth. Yes, there are times when there is to be a rebuke. And pastors have to rebuke at times. And others may have to rebuke. But it comes from a loving heart if they are to fulfill their calling. Love. Now true love will never justify sin or go along with it, but love will forgive. Love will have a spirit of forgiveness. There is love in the heart. Have you love in your heart? Sometimes the believer struggles with doubts and begins to question their love. The last service the Reverend John J. Murray came to was in Knightswood, Glasgow. And I happened to be the preacher, preaching on the marks of grace. And I remember saying in that pulpit to one who was so struggling with depression, You may not feel you have love in your heart, but Jesus sees that you love him. You may struggle. Doubts may arise, but the Lord sees you and he looks on you as his own, and he knows there is love in your life. There's not hatred towards him. Or maybe perplexed, confused, but there's not hatred, is there? There's love. The very opposite to hatred. Or can you talk to Jesus at this moment? What a privilege. And what a comfort just to say to the Lord now, I love thee. Oh, for the Holy Ghost to excite the grace often in our hearts and in the church each week. Come, Holy Spirit, blow across the garden, as we see in the Song of Solomon, that there will be the pleasant fruits manifesting themselves, pleasant unto the King, the beloved King, the Lord Jesus Christ. On Monday mornings, I go to a lovely garden, just inside Dorset, and the roses are out. There's lovely flowers, there's lovely scents. And you know, it's pleasant to work in that garden. And I'm often amazed I'm being paid to work in such a beautiful garden. There's the shade. Last week, the elderly widow wouldn't allow me to work in the sun. You go and work in the shade. Even though there's not so much work to do there in the shade. A pleasant garden with pleasant scents, pleasant flowers. It does it. The soul good. And it does our soul good to see love. How the Lord is delighted with the pleasant fruit in his church. Well, we must move on. We'll consider secondly this morning joy, but we'll leave peace to a future occasion. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, joy. Let's consider joy. There's much sorrow in the country of Ukraine at this present time. Homes have been blown up. Towns have been flattened. Many parents, many families, many children are so fearful today if the bomb is going to come their way. Many tears flow down the faces of people in Ukraine. Many of the Lord's people who truly love the Lord in Ukraine are anxious, they're concerned what's going to happen. We pray soon this time of great sorrow will pass and joy will be known in the hearts of the people of Ukraine. Sadly, in this world, there is much sinful joy as well. There are the fleeting pleasures of sin, as we read of in Hebrews, which Moses enjoyed. There are the fleeting pleasures of sin, which he enjoyed before he was converted. In Proverbs 15, verse 21, we read, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. It's a sinful joy. There's much sinful joy, but in the heart of the believer, there can arise, and there can so flourish at times, this grace of joy. Yes, as we consider love, there is a natural love, so there is a natural joy. It's lovely to hear the children, isn't it? Lovely to hear the children playing together. A number of years ago, snow came to the New Forest. We had nearly a foot of snow. And there was such quietness in the morning. You got up and the light was coming and such a quietness. But soon the quietness was broken by the children. Laughing and rejoicing. Being happy. A little later you could hear such laughter up the hills. You see, sledges have been left out by certain ones. Others had their own sledges. And they went up the hills and they went sledging down the hills. Lovely time. I even did it myself. Lovely. Oh, the children. What a happiness. What a joy. And a number of children were unconverted from the village. And yet there was joy and happiness. How I used to love the winter times at school. You came to the dinner time, out you went, and the teacher got a bucket of water and threw it over the playground, and we went ice skating. And we had longer dinner breaks, and some of the teachers wanted to have snowball fights. It was lovely, and there was such joy and happiness. And the bell rang, we had to go back in. We didn't want to. Sometimes one or two teachers let us sneak off to another part of the field so we could have a longer time. Well, it's lovely to hear the children, isn't it? Playing together. What do we read in Zechariah 8, verse 4, 5? And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Happiness in the streets. And the context there is a day of blessing and rejoicing. The Lord has visited Zion. That's interesting, isn't it? We have a picture of boys and girls playing, happy. It's a picture of a day of blessing. But also we can consider joy amongst the children. And I know you children here. You are happy at home, aren't you? You smile. You laugh, and it's a good thing. There's joy. Well, we're thinking here of the grace of joy. Many children know happiness in this world, but only some children know the joy of knowing Jesus. This grace of joy, this fruit, joy, this delight, this gladness, it comes from above, does it not? Psalm 4, verse 7. Thou put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase, thinking there of the harvest time. And ever then, there's a joy. The joy when the harvest is over. Some of you here used to live on a farm, and there was joy. When the harvest was safely gathered in, time of joy, the hard work of harvest over, you could sit down, enjoy a meal perhaps on the farm. I remember such occasions on my grandfather's farm. A joy, but oh, the joy from heaven put within is far greater. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. What a happy time is the end of harvest for the godly farmer. He's known the joy of the harvest being brought in, but he's also known the joy of being faithful to the Lord, and he didn't work on the Sabbath day. And the Lord has so provided and made up for him. The joy, joy in my soul, joy in knowing Jesus. Remember Mary in Luke 1 verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. His joy within, as she rejoiced in God, her Saviour, thinking of the Lord there. Have you known that joy? What do we read of in Psalm 51? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We need to pray that at times, don't we? Not because we're struggling, not because we're anxious or something, but because we've done something wrong. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes our joy is interrupted because of low thoughts, because of anxiety and other things. But then in that verse, joy can be interrupted sadly because of sin. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You think of the shepherd's children. They went off and they were glorifying the Lord. They were rejoicing that they had being brought to see the Lord and their lives were changed. The joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of your sins forgiven. Matthew 9 verse 2. We read of a certain man who was sick of the palsy. And then we read later, Son, says Jesus, be a good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. Son, what a refreshing word that is. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you be of good cheer in view of what Jesus says. And when we humble ourselves and as children we go to our Heavenly Father, there will be fatherly forgiveness. And there's an encouragement to rejoice after we have sought it. The joy of sins forgiven. Did we not begin this hour of worship? Oh, bless the Lord my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, we bless him with joy in the soul. There's the joy of fellowship with Christ. He stands at the door of the heart. Before thy stand at the door and knock, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. A time of dining. Last evening we had chocolate brownies, ice cream and strawberries. How lovely it was. I suggested to the one of the directors tomorrow and ought to be ice cream for the general committee of the TBS. And a time of fellowship will be happily enjoyed with such. We can think of such times of happiness, feasting together. You can have a meal together. Oh, the feasting with Christ. Oh, we can know joy. You children, you think of the joy of having a meal with someone. Having your favourite meal. It makes you happy, doesn't it? Think of the joy of feasting with Christ. We haven't had time to go into that this morning. But this supping, this dining, the joy of worship. And then consider further the joy that I have a shepherd to guide me through life. That's a joy, isn't it? And there are times we may be tearful in the valley. We can look up and rejoice that we have a shepherd who is there with us in that tearful valley. And to guide us. What a comfort that is. We have one to guide us. I was reading earlier today in Isaiah. Of the Lord, Matthew will be glorious. And he will come to every congregation. What a joy that is the Lord. And then consider the joy one day of seeing Jesus. On the other side of the forest, there was a certain lady called Esther Ransom. Where she lives was once owned by a Christian couple. A big godly couple. And I had the privilege of seeing the godly man just before he died. And I read Psalm 23. He had nearly forgotten who I was because he was so ill. But when I read those words, his eyes lit up. And you know what he did, children? With a smile on his face, he looked up to heaven. The joy that soon he would see Jesus. He was struggling. You could tell it. He was in hospital. You could tell it on his face when he went in. But just for those few moments, a smile appeared and he looked up to heaven. A few hours later, all his sorrows were gone. And he was rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. Joy in the view of seeing Jesus. How precious is this grace. And when you're cast down, make this little prayer. Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. Cultivate this grace of joy that even though I may still be sorrowful and crying, I might know a little joy. As I see in Psalm 30. He knew sorrow in his heart daily, the psalmist. But then he knew a little joy as seen at the end of the psalm. Joy will come. I can assure you that. The sunshine follows the rain. Of course, this week we'll be glad that the rain follows the sunshine. But you think the sunshine follows the rain or the storm. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What a blessing to know joy. What a happy eternity when we will be so happy. How can I thank the Lord enough? He put faith in my heart. And then he put love. And if I can say I love thee. And I can love the one who died for me. And I can show my love. That he causes me to rejoice. And there's such joy in my soul. May the Holy Spirit work within our hearts. For his name's sake. Amen. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we thank thee for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank thee for the fruit within. We pray for the work of the Holy Spirit within, cultivating the fruit, cultivating the grace, as the farmer would do in view of the harvest. Oh, come, north wind, blow across the garden of our soul, blow across the garden of the church in this country. Lord, we beseech thee. Oh, how can we thank thee that thou didst ever first love us? It is a great privilege to us, O Lord, to say that we love thee today. And we recognize it's all of grace, we can see that, say that, because thou didst first love us. Hear us, O God. Help us in this summer series that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. Jesus Christ, oh, hear us now. Forgive our many sins. Where there is a need at times in our lives, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise, Psalm 92, verses 12 through to verse 15. Psalm 92, verses 12 through to verse 15. But like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grove that is in Lebanon. He's a believer, growing, planted by grace, as we note in verse 13, and bringing forth fruit. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15, and the tune is Orlington.
But like the
upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.